Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilam, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say, and the month of October is almost coming to an end, and the most exciting month of the year for Sai devotees, November, is going to begin, and the birthday celebrations every year, we know, begins in this holy month. And how does the birthday celebrations begin? It begins with bhajans. Isn't that interesting? It doesn't begin with the regular mandir bhajans. The birthday celebrations begin every year with the global non-stop all over the globe, simultaneous across all time zones, intercontinental, international, akhanda bhajans, which will happen on November 8th and 9th, the second weekend of the month of November. To me, it is so profound that Bhagwan has designed it in such a way that his birthday celebrations always begin with a bang, and this bang is by a burst of bhajans. The avatar declared himself through a bhajan, and when he was born, musical instruments started playing devotional songs, and every birthday after that he has organized it in such a way, he has taught us in such a way that we begin with bhajans. Before any other celebrations begin for birthdays, it has to start with non-stop bhajans. And I think there is a very, very deep message for all of us. What bhajans should mean to us, what bhajans can do to us, what bhajans means to the avatar, and why he has gifted this to us. In fact, I remember Mrs. Geeta Mohan Ram, the long-standing devotee of Bhagwan, the daughter of Dr. Padmanabhan, sharing how Akhanda Bhajan started way back in 1945. And the story goes like this. In 1944, bhajans began in her home in Bangalore by 8 families that first went to Swami from this metropolitan city. Actually, whenever they used to go to Swami, in those days, they used to sing many songs in front of Bhagwan. It used to be Meera songs, Tyagaraja Kritis, and such other devotional songs. But there was no bhajans as it is sung now. And Swami would sit with them, and he would sit in front of his own picture, and he also would sing. And Mrs. Geeta Mohan Ram says, I remember as I was growing up, this was in the 50s, Swami would sit with us during bhajans and say, keep looking at that picture when you sing. Swami used to say, keep looking at that picture. And she says, so we knew something was going to happen, and as the bhajans were being sung, if it were a Devi bhajan, we would see kumkum appear on the forehead of Swami's picture. And if it were a Shiva bhajan, we would sometimes see the garland detach itself from the picture and take the shape of a little snake over the picture. So they used to see divine visions orchestrated by the divine in consonance with the deity to which the bhajan was sung, to whom the bhajan was sung, in whose adoration the bhajan was sung. And that is how they used to remain so focused on the bhajan, focused on the deity, because they knew something was going to happen to that picture. This was Swami's way of teaching them to understand what they were singing and focus on the bhajans. On so many occasions, Bhagwan has shared how we should lose ourselves in the form and attributes of the deity in whose adoration we are singing a bhajan. And here was Bhagwan so powerfully, indelibly teaching them to focus during bhajans. And she says this would happen regularly in those days in Puttaparthi. But when the families returned to Bangalore from Puttaparthi, they would miss Swami so much, and all those wonderful moments and experiences they had had doing bhajans and singing those songs in front of Bhagwan. And now they decided, why don't we do bhajans to feel Bhagwan's presence? And Swami is not here physically, but let us do bhajans. And so they thought, we will start bhajans on every Thursday, because Thursday was an auspicious day for Bhagwan. When Bhagwan declared, I am Sai Baba, and he sang Manasa Bhajari, and people asked him how we should worship you. And Bhagwan had told, clean your houses and hearts on every Thursday and do bhajans. So they decided, we will start bhajans every Thursday for an hour, on the evening of every Thursday during the week. So that is how bhajans began in Bangalore. And then in the 1940s, there was a curfew because the Second World War had started in 1939, and now they were not allowed to go out, but somehow or the other, they would very quietly take their flashlights in the dark and they would not miss the bhajans. All these 8 families would come together and do the bhajans. And after having done this for almost a year, continuous bhajans non-stop on every Thursday for an hour, they all said to themselves, "We have been doing these bhajans every Thursday in our homes for almost a year, these 8 families. Why don't we do something to celebrate this? Why don't we have a 24-hour bhajan to culminate these days of bhajans that we started?" And once this idea came, they wrote to Mr. Seshagiri Rao, who was Mrs. Geeta Mohan Ram's grandfather, who lived in Puttaparthi at that time. And they asked him if he could ask Bhagwan for the permission to do these 24-hour bhajans. Mr. Seshagiri Rao was the first pujari of Prashantanilaya Mandir, and he was staying with Bhagwan. He used to serve Bhagwan in those days. And so he placed this prayer in front of Bhagwan, and then he replied to Mrs. Geeta Mohan Ram's family saying, "Swami is very happy with this idea, and Swami has told that it should be called the Akhanda Bhajan, 24 hours of Namasmarana. Do it." And Swami says, not only that, he himself will come too for these bhajans. So that is how Akhanda Bhajan started. And Swami came. Swami came, and Swami used to stay in Mrs. Geeta Mohan Ram's aunt's house. And this went on till 1974. He would come even after the Vrindavan bungalow was built, and every year those 8 families would conduct these Akhanda Bhajans. And once the crowds grew, they continued, but now they needed bigger place, and so they used to rent halls, and Swami would come and Swami would inspect all the arrangements. In fact, the moment he came, he would generally come to Bangalore on Wednesday, sometime during midday, in time for lunch. And after arriving, the first thing Bhagwan would ask is, "Where is the bhajan hall?" And then he would immediately go to that place and he would inspect the hall, and then he would see all the youngsters putting up the altar there, decorating there, and the woman would be sitting there and tying the flowers to make beautiful garlands for the pictures, and there would be others sweeping, mopping, cleaning up the place, and etc., etc. And Bhagwan would be totally involved, because those days more than 200 people used to attend. This is like 1940s. And early 50s, and Bhagwan was very, very involved in this function. And Swami would be there as these decorations go on. Swami would come and, that is very nice. Okay, place this picture here, place that artwork there, and so on. And he would inquire where the lamp is going to be placed, and the lamp lighting ceremony and all that. And in fact, Mrs. Geeta Mohan Ram says that though everyone loved Bhagwan, but they would not want Bhagwan to be there physically all the time, because if Bhagwan is around, you cannot work. When Bhagwan is standing close to you, it's very difficult to actually go on and do your work, because you know you want to all the time look at Bhagwan, you want to spend time with him. So apparently on one occasion, her old aunt, who had a very, very loving relationship with Bhagwan, who had seen Bhagwan when Swami was a small child, so her relationship with Swami was very different. It's very, very intimate. And one day she told Swami, "Swami, will you please come away and stop bothering those men who are trying to do the altar? You please come and sit over here." This is what Geeta Mohan's aunt, she had that proximity, she had that privilege to have that sort of a relationship with Bhagwan. And Swami responded to her saying, "Okay, I will come. I will not work with them. But then I will come and sit with you all. You are all making garlands. I want to be part of it." And there was this big pile of jasmine flowers in the middle of these women who were sitting all around and doing the garland with so much of devotion. One garland for Swami's picture, another for Swami himself, a full length 4 feet garland to offer it to him before, after the aarti. And when Swami saw them doing this garland, Swami is very excited, seemingly excited, and Swami told them, "Show me how to do this, show me how to do this, I want to do." It's actually quite an art to make those garlands, and it is not very easy. And So they showed it to Swami once or twice, and Swami then tried to do the garlands. He tried to put the thread around the flowers and all that, but you know, it was falling off. The flowers are falling off. And Bhagavan kept complaining, oh, you don't teach me properly, you're hopeless teachers. Teach me properly, I want to do the garland and all that. And Swami tried to make one and it did not work. The garland, the flowers fell off. And now the ladies told him, see Swami, you know what? You're not going to learn it. You're not doing it. And then Mrs. Geeta Mohan Ram's aunt, she told Swami, Swami, in this avatar, garland is not your thing. Please, let us do this. You go and do something else. She had that much of proximity with the Lord that she could take those liberties. And Bhagwan too, so beautifully responded. Swami said, no, no, nothing doing. I want to do garlands. And so, he continued to make those garlands, and the ladies became very upset because, you know, they had spent 200 rupees and got all these flowers, and now they were losing these flowers. The flowers, the stems were breaking off, and Bhagavan was not making the garlands. And they told Swami, please, you are wasting all the flowers. Why are you doing this? And then finally, to end all this and find a solution to this, her aunt gave Swami a little bowl filled with a few flowers, and he told Swami, Swami, whatever you want to try, please try with these flowers. And if you are not getting it, it is okay. You are not going to get one more flower and you have to stop. And so, very quietly, innocently, Bhagwan sat there with a steel bowl of flowers in front of him, the only few that her aunt had given. And then Mrs. Geeta Mohan Ram says, suddenly they would turn around, and what they would see that Bhagwan was holding the longest, most beautiful garland you can imagine. And he had done it in a minute. There was a 3 feet garland. And then Bhagwan, with a lot of excitement, he used to say, see, I'm a quick learner. See, I have done it. That is how playful he was with them, with those blessed devotees. And that is how involved he was with bhajans, and that is how mysteriously, magnificently, endearing, lovable he always has been for all those who love him from the core of their beings. So those are those incredible moments of the early Akhanda Bhajan days. And just imagine from there how fabulously, how fantastically, how gloriously the Bhajan movement today has spread all over the globe. I don't think there is anybody today who loves Swami and who does not like Bhajans. In fact, there might even be people who do not conform to the so-called devotees of Bhagwan. They may not call themselves devotees of Bhagwan, but they are drawn to Sai Bhajans. They love Sai Bhajans. That is the power of bhajans. And that is why this is one spiritual practice that Swami stressed on right from the beginning, and he guided people how to participate in it. He himself sang, demonstrated, taught, and he ensured that this continues all through. Wherever Sai Baba's picture is there, there Sai bhajans would resonate. And the whole thing acquired a new dimension once colleges opened and students became members of the Prashanti Bhajan group in the late 70s and 80s. And then Swami spent so much time guiding these students. And I think that chapter in the avatar's life is unparalleled. The amount of time, attention he gave to the members of the Bhajan group. And today, I'm going to share with you one such story, the reflections of Brother Sonam Gyamso from Sikkim, who belongs to the earliest batch of Sai students. Blessed with tremendous talent, he not only sang and continues to sing for Bhagwan, he also has been gifted by him to compose many bhajans. And sometime in January of 2014, I sat down with him and I requested him to reflect and share some of those timeless moments with Bhagwan. So this is what I'm going to play for you today. But before that, here is an original composition from a young Sai devotee, R. Jagdish from Chennai. He sent us this when we requested for original bhajan compositions in October as part of our Avatar Declaration Day celebration. Just listen to this. You'll like it.
Bhagavan, 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 दर्शन दो भगवान भगवान दर्शन दो भगवान अल्लाह साई भूत दोराशा अल्लाह साई भूत दोराशा अल्लाह साई भूत दोराशा अल्लाह साई भूत दर्शन दो भगवान अल्लाह साई भूत जोराशा अल्लाह साई भूत जोराशा नानक साई सुमहावीर नानक साई महावीर सब का मालिक एक है भगवान
So that is a beautiful bhajan composed by Brother R. Jagdish from Chennai, and he says the inspiration for this bhajan, for composing this bhajan, is Swami, Swami and only Swami. It has come from him alone. And he says, I composed this bhajan way back in 2002 when Bhagwan used to sometimes not come for morning darshans. I used to come to Puttaparthi twice a month till Bhagwan withdrew his physical form. And during one such visit, I was able to have only two evening darshans because Swami did not come morning darshan. And I felt that was not enough. I missed so much. So when I came back to Chennai, I sat in our shrine at home and I started to pray to Swami to please come for morning darshans also. And in that mood of prayer and pining for his darshan, I composed this bhajan. This was my prayer to Swami. This is how the bhajan you heard came out. In fact, if you look into the story of how each bhajan has originated, we would feel so humble, we would feel so charged, we would feel so much sai-filled, we would feel so much different. Every bhajan will become such an elevating experience. And this is what I would want all of us to know, all of us to ruminate on and to help us in this. I requested Brother Sonam to share with us some of the stories behind the compositions that he has been blessed with, and that is what we'll be listening to in this last segment of Thursday Life, coming to you straight from the studios of Radio Sai.
Tune Turning to Sight.
Spend the day with Sight.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sight Thursday Live.
Radio Sight Thursday Live.
So welcome to Outside Inside, Deep Inside, and today, Bhavamritam, Bhajan Insights from Brother Sonam Gyamso. So we are going to listen now to this first part of this conversation I had with him sometime in January 2014. And dear listeners, you will love this, because when you know about how through bhajans Bhagwan has chiseled so many hearts, and he continues to do, we would feel so very sanctified, we would feel so very purified. Every bhajan session will become a purifying experience. So here is the first part of the conversation with Brother Sonam Gyamso. Sai Ram, Brother Sonam, and a warm welcome to you to the studios of Radio Sai.
Sai Ram Vishu.
You're someone who not only joined Bhagwan's college, even before Swami started the university in 1981, but also someone who has been blessed to be a part of the Prashanti Bhajan group right from the time you joined Bhagwan's college. I won't even say Bhagwan's university, because you joined here in the late 70s in the Brindavan college.
Yeah.
So you have been singing in front of Bhagwan in his divine presence for more than 35 years now. So it is a long association with Sai and with Sai Bhajans, and someone who has not only received so many instructions from Bhagwan about bhajan singing, but you are someone whose personality has been chiseled by Bhagwan as a member of the bhajan group, and he has also in the process inspired you. And as you many times say, a bhajan comes out, then you learn it yourself.
Yeah.
So if you can share with us some of those moments, you know, which are treasured in your heart, those moments when Bhagwan inspired you to come out with a beautiful creation that could be an aid for people to offer their devotion to Bhagwan.
Vishu, you said it so well, that the bhajan gets manifested first, and then the so-called composer learns the bhajan for the first time.
Yes.
And then it's a beautiful miracle of Bhagwan that you go out there and sing it before people. They also learn. And then all of us, we enjoy singing that bhajan. I joined Bhagwan's college in Whitefield in Bangalore in the year 1978. And then we were waiting for Bhagwan to come. And right after Guru Purnima, for the first time, I had Swami's darshan as a student. And the first thing that he did was, he was waiting near the entrance for the warden, our revered Mr. E. Sudarshan. And then he blessed him, asked him about the students, the newcomers. And that very evening he was in the hostel. And the most wonderful experience that I had that day, the senior ones, they just pushed me right to the front. And then they nudged me and said, you must sing that bhajan which you sang in the institute. And as usual, as it happens even today, we had an audition and I got selected. And as a pre-university student, that is equivalent to class 11.
Yes.
I had the rare opportunity to sing a song, sing a bhajan in the morning prayer in the institute. And that's what they wanted me to sing before Bhagwan. And I sang it before Bhagwan, Giridhari Lal Shyam Gopal, a bhajan that I had learned in Calcutta, and I sang it there. And then, after the bhajan, when Swami was going back to the bungalow, some seniors came and told me that, look, Swami was inquiring about you. And Swami asked the principal, Professor D. Narinder, who's that boy who sang today? So he described, he told him about me, and he's from Sikkim, and Swami just feigned his ignorance about me and said, oh, is that so? The next day, in the morning darshan, Swami just looked for me, and then he said, you sing very well.
Wow.
It was such a compliment that I can never forget in my life.
you've just come into Bhagwan's university, just second day, and he's already giving you, he's patting your back.
And then he said that you be prepared to sing for my jhula. And you can't imagine the way I took off. Today, in retrospect, when I think of these, as you rightly said, I had to tell you these few words. Because through Bhajan, Swami made my life. If I live today, if I am happy today, satisfied, contented, it's all because of Bhajans.
Wow.
And imagine Bhajans being taught to people who were total novices in singing. I was more into Western music and living a very flamboyant life out there in Sikkim and then later on in Kalimpong, Darjeeling. But when I came in his fold, like he brought me to him and then he made me sing that bhajan. And then the empowerment, the immensity of that empowerment is something that cannot be expressed in terms of words. So if at all today you are asking me to sing some bhajans, we are just putting name tags on each other and saying that so-and-so is a legend in bhajan, so-and-so is a legend in speaking. These are endowments from Bhagwan. And the way it happened, the way that particular moment empowered me into thinking that I could sing. Because nobody had told me, except my mother, that I could sing well.
Until then.
And when Swami told me that you sing very well, I wanted to sing, and then since that day I started singing, and those were the times when we were just learning bhajans here and there, and I was learning from the seniors and then singing. Well, gradually it so happened that that empowerment, it manifested in terms of experiences that I could not really imagine what was happening. Like I composed a bhajan, can you imagine me composing a bhajan? And that bhajan, the first ever bhajan which I composed after I came to his lotus feet, is this beautiful bhajan. Today a lot of people, musicologists, people who know music, they tell me, oh, that bhajan, they tell me that it's in Bilash Khani Thori and, you know. But then, at that point of time,
you didn't know the ragas.
Who would know? And who could care? Even as today.
Yes.
No, what was important was just singing the bhajan and enjoying it.
Yes.
Karuna Sindhu Dasharatha Nandana Partipurishwara Prema Swarupa Prashanti Niketana Maruti Sevitra Ahalyodharak Rajivalochana Raghukul Bhushan Ram Ahalyodharak Rajivalochana Raghukul Bhushan Ram Karuna Sindhu. And I sang this bhajan before Bhagwan, and he tapped to this bhajan, he just kept the beat, he swayed to this bhajan. And he said that it's a beautiful bhajan. Did you compose it? You know, we learn so much from Bhagwan in terms of teaching. And these were the intangible ways of teaching a novice, wherein he was not telling me the alpha and omega of music, not telling me how to compose a bhajan. But he was giving me the bhajan, making me sing the bhajan, so that lot of other people around me also would emulate it, would like to compose bhajan, would desire to compose bhajans, and it started happening. Soon after that, I still remember the day I sang that bhajan and Swami gave all those beautiful compliments and a bhajan that you would have composed yourself. And back in the hostel, everyone was coming and telling me that you sang very well, buddy, fantastic, very good. And then there was one person, my best friend, Sai Shankar, a wonderful musician, good violin player, he just wanted to pull me down a bit. Because I was taking off like a horse.
Okay.
And then he just wanted to bring me down to earth. So he told me, what's so big about composing a bhajan, man? Because by the time I was putting on such an air, without my knowledge, so egoistic, just for composing one bhajan, can you imagine? A bhajan that is supposed to liberate you, If you are ignorant,
it's actually binding you.
It binds you so much.
Yes.
To that authorship that
yes.
I have composed a bhajan. Now, I need to tell you one more thing. You know, before I came to Bhagwan's institute, one thing that had drawn me so close to Bhagwan was bhajan. And I was going around and bhajan had transformed me in my life.
Like you were drawn into Sai fold because of bhajan.
Through bhajans. And I think most of the devotees in this wide, wide world would tell you the same story. It was bhajan that brought them so close to Bhagwan. And I was listening to those bhajans, and as a part of my preparation to join Swami's college, I was only thinking in terms of bhajan, thinking in terms of bhajans. Earlier, the songs that I used to sing to my mother were all Muhammad Rafi songs or Kishore Kumar songs, and singing those songs in public. But here was a totally different idiom. And then you won't believe me, I just composed two bhajans at that point of time, before I joined Swami's college. And I'm not singing those bhajans because later on, there were people who were claiming the authorship of those bhajans. So I'm not singing those bhajans now. But they were beautiful bhajans which really prepared my heart to receive Bhagwan. To
wow.
prepared me to join his college. Because all throughout, I would only think of those bhajans, only recite those bhajans when I was, because there were so many other bhajans, definitely. But these bhajans were specially given to me by Bhagwan for my purification, so that I could deserve to be in his college.
Before we go on, can I just ask you to pause here, and can we go back to the bhajan with your first composition, which you sang in front of Bhagwan? That bhajan is all about compassion of the Lord. That bhajan is all about the compassion of Rama
yes.
and Sai Rama.
Yes.
Ahalyodhiharaka Rama, Maruti Sevita Rama. So, what prompted you to choose these lyrics? Or you didn't even think, it just came? Or is it that there was a strong feeling that you wanted to express and these words just came to aid you in that process?
Thank you so much, Vishu, for asking me this. This bhajan reflects how much values could be given to a person in a given point of time, a just course of 6 to 7 months. Like before that, I couldn't have even thought of Ahalyodharaka. But then throughout these 6-7 months when Swami was talking to us, giving us discourses, one of the most beautiful values that Swami would tell us about was compassion of Sri Ramachandra ji. And throughout, I used to feel myself like a lump of stone waiting there for the touch of God.
Wow.
And this Ahalyodharak was no other than myself. Like, I used to feel that I am nothing but just a lump of stone, inanimate. And then just by his touch. So it was a beautiful feel. On one side, I was getting bloated with my ego and feel of self-accomplishment, and Swami talking to me almost every day and telling me, you sing very well every evening. And on the other side, my friends would tell me how ugly I was looking because of my attitude, because of my snobbishness. And when this bhajan was composed, these were the thoughts, these were the feel, this was the feel. Karuna Sindhu Dasharatha Nandan Partipurishwar Ram. This, from my heart it came out that you are no other than Karuna Sindhu. You are the very ocean of mercy. And then at that point of time, Swami had told me so beautifully the difference between a human love, which is akin to infatuation, and compassion, which is universal. So these things were coming from Bhagwan every day, either at a very personal level or in general, in public. Every evening we used to have this beautiful Vrindavan session with Bhagwan, as it happens even today. And I just say, even very currently, even today it happens in Trai Vrindavan, the same session. And Vishu, what happened after that was, it would have been a spate of compositions maybe, but this terrible thing called ego, you know, it was just controlling me. It was just being a very big hurdle in this beautiful progression which was going on. And then through this, again, I was learning so much in life. I composed a bhajan at that time, after that Karuna Sindhu. And Rupak Sharma used to be a very good singer, very powerful singer, again, another novice from Assam. And Swami used to call him Chinna Rupak, and he sang this bhajan before Swami for the first time. Even in today's parlance, if you look at it, it's a poetry written in Hindi, and a northeastern Hindi. Okay. You know, may not be even grammatically correct. But we sang it nevertheless, and it got accepted by Bhagwan. In later times, when we had to sing before Bhagwan for his acceptance of that bhajan, which was purely again at an ego level. At that time, the ego was there, but then innocence was, you know, washing it, purifying it every day. Because there was this type of innate innocence, and the bhajan was beautiful. But when I look at it today, it sounds very much like a composition of a novice. And he sang it. The song was like this. I'll just sing the bhajan.
Sure.
Tribhuvan Pala Shirdi Purisha Arj Suno Sai Baba. Tribhuvan Pala Shirdi Purisha Arj Suno Sai Baba. Jag mein apna koi nahi hai, tum hi ek sahara. Din jano ke tum rakhwala, shyam manohar murli wala. In aankhon ki pyaas bujha do, darshan do ab parti wala. Arj suno Sai Baba. This was one bhajan. And then there was a bhajan in between when this was happening and Sai Shankar was trying to pull me down. What was happening around me that is really worthy of sharing with you?
Sure, please go ahead.
You know, what happened was when he told me that what's so big about composing a bhajan, just to cut me to size, and I said that you compose a song and show me. Then we were having our evening cup of tea in the hostel soon after our classes. And then this was going on between me and him in a corner of the hostel there outside. And then I told him, if you can compose a bhajan and show me, you prove your worth. Imagine that clash of ego, that competition. And then he said, okay, you tell me one word, I'll compose it and show you. Then I told him, Madhuban Murali Shama Murari. That's it. Come on, compose it. And then straight away he composed the whole bhajan. It came from him. Madhuban Murali Shama Murari Savariya Mohe Ras Vihari Gokul Nandan He Giridhari Dinan Ke Tuma Bhava Bhaya Hari Dinan Ke Tuma Bhava Bhaya Hari.
Wow.
I was flabbergasted.
It's such a beautiful
song. Straight away he composed it. Straight away. Like that it got manifested there. And how long did it take for me to sing this song? That was the time that was taken when this bhajan got expressed. And then he was in tears and he told me, didn't you see Swami's signature on this bhajan? I don't know why you told me Madhuvan Murali Shyama Murari. And this bhajan is composed in Rag Madhuvanti. I never even thought of it. This guy, he knew music so well. He had learned Carnatic classical music. He was a very good violinist, very good swargyan. But this is what he told me at that time.
And see, he was Bhagwan's instrument in trying to chisel your ego.
Exactly.
And Swami did it so magnificently because what came out was so superb.
Yeah. Swami would juxtapose one person against the other or with the other. And then they would learn from each other. And then Swami is the Sarvadi Sakshi Bhutam. He's just watching you. And it's so beautiful. This gentleman, he composed one more beautiful bhajan at a later point of time when we were studying together in Vrindavan during our 5 years study in Vrindavan. This beautiful bhajan. Pashupati Tanaya Balagajanana. This bhajan was composed by him. So I won't sing the whole bhajan, you know the bhajan.
Yes.
The whole world knows this bhajan.
But we didn't know the composer, and perhaps sometime if he's around, we should speak to him to know the story behind that bhajan.
Now, but this Karuna Sindhu Dasharath Nandan, that composition, that triggered off so many reactions everywhere and very positive reactions. People wanted to, it made ripples. People wanted to compose bhajans. And there was this Gyanendra Deka from Assam. He's still there in Guwahati. He used to play a guitar. And then he composed a bhajan. Again, he was not that bhajan type of guy, you know. But he composed. Sai hai jeevan, jeevan satya sai. Sai mera jeevan sahara. Sai hai jeevan, jeevan satya sai. Would you like me to sing the whole bhajan?
Oh yeah, sure.
Tere bina sai, sab hai andhera. Tere bina sai, sab hai andhera. Paar karo mere jeevan naiya, sharan lagano mujhe sai kanaiya. Sharan lagano mujhe sai kanaiya. Sai hai jeevan. He composed this bhajan. There was Neil Bordoloi. He also composed a beautiful bhajan. It was at that time. And Hirok Changakoti used to sing this. And those were the times Swami would say, oh, you are just singing a bhajan. Why don't you top it up with a beautiful mukhra, like in an alap? Why alap. Don't you sing? So every bhajan used to have an alap.
Every bhajan?
Yeah, almost every bhajan, where is the alap? The singer would ask. Wow. Without alap, how can you sing before Bhagwan? And the alap had to go to a crescendo and then come down gracefully. This is what Swami used to tell us. And this bhajan... Aavo man mandir mein, aavo saaye, saaye Bhagwan darshan dikha. Man mandir mein. You know this bhajan very
yes.
well. The whole world knows this. So I won't sing the whole bhajan. So this is a bhajan which was composed at that point of time. So what I'm trying to tell you is, you know, everybody was geared up to be his instrument. At that time, we were too young and real novices to even think of being his instrumenter. It really didn't mean much to us. But really composing a bhajan.
Yes, I think just the thrill of it.
The thrill of it. And
yes.
singing before Bhagwan.
Yes.
And to be patted by Bhagwan.
Yes.
Very physically and to be told by Bhagwan that you sing well, you have composed well.
You can imagine as a young musician or a young singer, you've just joined the college and your pre-university days or graduation days, and I think that will be like the epitome of your achievement. You've
exactly.
composed something and Bhagwan is accepted.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter, the whole world accepts you as a musician or not.
So what happened was, I started finding myself slowly drawn into a beautiful world of music where only Bhagwan, he ruled the roost. Like,
yes.
you know, only Bhagwan existed for us and nobody else. And this is what happens to with each one of us. Every student, every devotee who comes to Bhagwan, for all that matters to us is Bhagwan alone. So I found myself completely drawn into this and only bhajan and bhajan and bhajan mattered. To cut things short at a later stage, because I don't remember many of the bhajans that were composed at that time. Just the tip of some bhajans were, that I can remember. And this morning I was just trying to figure them out. And I had completely forgotten some of those bhajans. But later on when we came to Prashanti Nilayam, and this actually was the place where people used to say that at that point of time, that Prashanti Nilayam is Bhagwan's office. His office is here in Prashanti Nilayam, where he is all the time active and he has no time to spare for the students. But then blissfully at that point of time, 9 months in a year he used to spend in Vrindavan.
Yes.
So most of the time he was holidaying with his students,
yes,
the Vrindavanites. And this is how we used to enjoy. But here in Prashanti Nilayam, one of the inspirations that used to be very powerful for composing bhajan were the students. Like the demand of the students who were exclusively beautiful singers. And each one of them had different style of singing. And if I could really call it, they were not the run-of-the-mill style of singing bhajan. But each person had developed his own style while singing before Bhagwan. And some of them would tell me that, you know, we are running short of Ganesh bhajans. Why don't you compose a bhajan in Ganesh? I had just listened to a beautiful classical composition, that Vatapi Ganapatim. And I thought that, oh, somebody told me that this raga is wedded to Sri Ganesh.
Yes.
So anyone who can compose a beautiful bhajan in Raga Hamsadhani would be beautiful. You know, would be really graced by Bhagwan. I was praying to Bhagwan, and a very light version of Hamsadhani was expressed at that point of time when I just joined Prashanti in line for my postgraduate PG course. This was the bhajan which I'll just sing a part of it because the whole world knows this beautiful bhajan. Lambodare Gauri Nandan Vigna Vinashak Shubhanana Siddhi Vinayak He Dukh Bhanjan. Should I sing the whole bhajan?
Yeah, please go on.
Asura Vinashak Shubhanana Gauri Nandan Moshik Vahan Vigna Vinashak Shubhanana.
So how was Bhagwan's response when this was first time offered to him?
Normally every day the response from Bhagwan used to be almost the same. Like in the morning he would ask us, is there anything new today? And the whole gesture would be, most of the times, like it used to be, especially after we would come back from vacation. And this was a time, much after I had joined Prashanti Line. At that point of time, Swami would ask us, have you learned anything new? Okay. Are you singing anything new in the evening? Swami would ask us. And we had to be prepared. So boys used to, by any means, they had to collect new compositions, new songs. That was the time when we were flushed with that type of excitement, that exhilaration of learning new songs and singing it here. And out there, throughout the world, people would be waiting for us to come and collect those bhajans. So we were almost bhajan collectors there. And we could introduce the bhajan before Bhagwan. And then Swami would accept the bhajan with those beautiful gestures of Bhagwan. And then the bhajan would be accepted here and become officially known.
Fantastic. I think this is such a beautiful bhajan in that Hamsadhani Raga. They always say that this is the raga, as you mentioned. In every classical concert, they start with this raga.
Yes.
And you have used so many appellations of Lord Ganesha. It's almost filled with the appellations of Lord Ganesha.
Lord Ganesha.
Yes.
And maybe, Vishu, this is one of the most beautiful ways of Bhagwan telling us that each one of you, there were times when, you know, there were exclusive saint singers.
Yes.
Saint devotees, you know, who
poet saints,
who composed and then for posterity. But now is a time, Bhagwan, the Satya Sai Avatar is so special, and in the idiom of music, I have come to understand this, that he has taught each one of us, inspired each one of us to become a Mirabai, a Tyagraj. You know, each one of us should be, yeah, at that level, I mean at the level of not a musical accomplishment.
Yes.
But at the level of our devotion, our supplication to the Lord, each one of us, we have the potential to rise up to that transcendental level. And Swami has taught that to us in the idiom of music, in the idiom of bhajan. And Hariharan, a beautiful friend of ours, a wonderful composer, wonderful singer, a good violin player, an adept in Indian classical music. The whole world knows who is T.V. Hariharan. And Hari was the first person to compliment me after this bhajan. He was the first person to whom I sang this bhajan first before we sang it at his lotus feet. And then Hari said, how did you manage to compose a bhajan in Raag Hamsadhwani in such a light style?
Exactly. Hamsadhwani bhajans are very energetic.
Yes. And this is a very soft type of soothing type of bhajan. And how did you do it? Then at that point of time, most of my ego had been chiseled out. And then I won't go into that because that was another phase. But then that was a time wherein I had started understanding that, Swami, these are your expressions. And thank you so much, Swami, for touching me. So this was the feel. And every time since then, after I came to Prashant Land, every bhajan that he has inspired through me, in me, he has composed through me, or in me, you know, each bhajan has been a beautiful, humbling experience of receiving the bhajan and then feeling really so whole and so total. And this has been my experience.
Wow, fantastic. In fact, as you mentioned, that in every boy, actually Swami has instilled a bit of Tyagaraja, a bit of Mirabai. We may not have become a complete Tyagaraja,
exactly.
But Swami has instilled. They say that when Tyagaraja composed, or rather when the divine worked through Tyagaraja, he never wrote down anything. He would always only sit in the temple and sit in front of the statue of Lord Rama and just sing. He never bothered to document them. He never bothered to preserve anything. It was only many years later that people started documenting, and they say that he composed 27,000 kritis and only 700 are what is left now, which were collected later by so many disciples. But as you mentioned, for him it didn't matter. For him it was only expressions. He just sang to the Lord.
Exactly. He was not trying to prove anything there. Like, there's nothing to prove there. He was not trying to prove his devotion to Bhagwan, or he was just in ecstasy and just one with Bhagwan. And this is one thing that Swami told me in a beautiful sequence of, again, another bhajan composition. You know, sometimes you exert your ego and then sit with a harmonium and say that, okay, I want to compose a bhajan. Most of the bhajans that actually I have composed were bhajans that were composed when I was really, you know, caught unawares. Like, I was not sitting with a harmonium. The bhajan, the tune would come so beautifully, and then the words would flow out, and then write down quickly. And this is how I started getting an idea of the swaras, the swargyan also. Because otherwise, how could I write it? I didn't have a tape recorder. I had to write down the notations immediately so that I wouldn't forget it. So this is how he started manifesting this also, so that I shouldn't forget the song. I should be ready to receive the bhajan at any point of time, in any condition, in any way, in any place.
Wow, so the swargyan also came from Bhagwan.
I wouldn't even call it swargyan, but the capacity to understand the notes that I have composed, so that I could write it down,
exactly,
and read it later on and say that, okay, yeah, this is the composition.
So that you can replicate it again.
Replicate it. So there are songs that I have composed while traveling in a train, while standing in a queue, like, you know, while waiting for Swami's darshan. So these were some of the beautiful experiences. And I can tell all my sisters and brothers today that just empty your heart and be a receptacle, just ready to be, to receive that amritam. And beautiful bhajans will start manifesting through anybody, whomever he touches. No matter our prowess in music. It's not at all necessary. It's not at all needed. Ultimately, music is what music does.
Absolutely.
And here was this bhajan. And I was at that point of time caught again, once again, in that web of that I-ness, that I have really composed it. And I was not happy with that composition. In fact, to make it still worse, I thought that I was ashamed of that composition. But nevertheless, I sang it in the mandir. I had the temerity to sing that bhajan.
Pannag Shayena Kali Avatara Narayana Hariyo Parama Niranjana Nirajanayana Saishwaraya Hariyo Mukti Pradayak Pap Vinashak सत्य सनातन तुम हो दीनानाथ है प्रभु परमेश्वर करुणा सागर तुम हो.
This was a bhajan, and Lakshminarayan Koti, I still remember that day, he was in his staircase duty, and he just came out from Swami's interview room, and I was just sitting there to ask somebody to get a feedback from people. How was this bhajan today? Did it go well? And Lakshminarayan Koti was the first person, a wonderful singer. He told me, hey, this bhajan is so beautiful, man. You sang it very well. And then I was so happy. But then can you imagine a man, a human being, another fellow human being complimenting me? And then I feel fantastic about it. These are all, you know, hallmarks of ignorance. In the first place, to think that I didn't compose it well, but then again singing it, again feeling, trying to get a feedback from people, and then feeling so happy and buoyant that somebody has complimented and said at long last that bhajan is good. Then the next day in the morning, Swami came straight to me and said that, you know, it was for me, it appeared out of context when he straight away came and told me, when you just trying to put together, when you put together words and then sing it out, you know, just sing it in some tune, does it become a bhajan? He asked me.
Swami told you that?
Yeah, he asked me. Kuch words ko jod ke usko gata hai, wo bhajan hota hai? He asked me. I was in a state of shock.
Oh,
then the
God.
Only thing that came out from my mouth, I said, Swami, then how to compose? Swami said, itna ego kai ko karta hai. Ego mat karo. Sab theek ho sakta hai. And went away. And it has taken me all these decades today to really go to the depths of that, you know, to understand the purport of what Swami had said that day. One more beautiful thing that he said on that day was, Bhagwan ka naam, he said, Swami ka naam bhi list banata hai, wo poetry hota hai. You know, even if you list out the different names of God, it becomes the most beautiful poetry. That's what he told me that day, and he just went away. Today, in retrospect, when I look at it, what a profound message. In the first place, if you do away with this doership, like, you know, your authorship of a composition, or that you have sung it, and how did I sing it? If you don't have that in mind, a bhajan is just a bhajan, and it lifts you up. You know, it's a lifting experience. But then the moment you taint it with this feel that I didn't sing it well, today something happened, then the whole bhajan gets completely distorted. Because Bhagwan to bhav ke bhukhe hote hain. He is not bothered about whoever has sung in whatever manner and what were the nuances. But that bhava should be there in that composition. Then at a later point of time, I think I have shared this also earlier, that when Swami was telling this to Pandit Bhimsen Joshi and telling, you didn't sing. Why are you crying, man? Swami is telling him, tu kai ko rota hai, tu nahi gaya. And he's telling, Swami, maine gaya na. Thik se nahi gaya, Swami. Swami was telling, main tumko bolta hai, tu nahi gaya. Rona band karo, Bhimsen. Swami was telling Bhimsen Joshi after he performed in Purnachandra Auditorium.
He was very emotional in his presence.
He was so emotional, and then Swami ultimately created a ring and gave him, okay, keep this ring and don't cry. Swami treated him like a kid, like a child. And the whole world becomes a child right in his presence.
Absolutely.
And actually, so many such beautiful experiences Swami gave us to understand this point. That, you know, when you don't have that feel of doership, straight away, that bhajan becomes a great experience, a spiritual experience.
And in this bhajan's instance, you actually wanted to compose.
Yeah, I wanted to compose.
It was not that it just came.
No.
It was not divinely inspired.
I sat with a harmonium to compose.
That is the reason why Bhagwan made that comment.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So well put.
Fantastic. When you think about it, whether you are a bhajan singer or whether you are an athlete or whether you are a dramatist, Swami's focus all the time is only one. You have to grow spiritually.
Exactly. That's all. In fact, he says, at another point of time, I think I've shared this again earlier, Swami said, I don't have any mission. You are only grafting so many missions on me. I don't have any mission. I am not a missionary, Swami said. My only concern, for which this avatar has manifested, is your redemption, your salvation. Salvation of every sentient and insentient being. That is all Swami said. All the rest of the whole thing is a commentary on that. That's what Swami said.
So I think you are at one stage of your evolution with music as the aid which Bhagwan chose when you were in Vrindavan. And slowly when you came to Prashantilam, it matured so much. But still, I think there were those edges that Bhagwan was constantly trying to sharpen. And
definitely, definitely.
And because, as you mentioned earlier, that in your first bhajan, you picturized yourself as the stone. When you said that Ahalyo Dehar Karama is used these lyrics in that bhajan. And that stone is what Bhagwan was constantly chipping.
So
that you shine one day and spread and share his light. So how was it in Parthi after that? I think in Puttaparthi, you got many more opportunities to compose. And as you mentioned, there was always a demand, and especially from singers, they wanted to sing new bhajans and they would ask you to compose. And again, the moment you think that you will compose, it's never going to happen. So how did this journey of coming out with new bhajans and offering it to Bhagwan happen once you were in Prashanthi. You spent so many more years in Prashanthi and went on to do your PhD too.
Vishu, one of the bhajans that I really wanted to, I always loved to sing before Bhagwan. And there used to be a few other contenders who would say that, oh, I'm going to sing this bhajan today. It used to be a slightly, normally bhajans that I composed used to be very slow types, you know. Bhajans which had very slow rhythm, slow tempo. But this was a bhajan, Sai Baba.
Oh, yes.
So this bhajan, when it was composed, again, there was a demand for an alap.
Okay.
So that alap was written sometime during lunch. And it was a one-day affair. Like, in the morning, the bhajan was composed. Afternoon, the mukhra was added to it. And in the evening, we wanted to sing, but we were not prepared. So we had to wait for one whole week of preparation to sing this bhajan before Bhagwan. And I had the privilege to sing it for the first time at his lotus feet. And later on, mostly Hirok Changa Kotiji used to sing this bhajan.
Charna kamal par, charna kamal par, sheesh navaavu, arpan karu tujhe namaskar, bhakti bhav ki ye swar mala kar lena baba swika, sai baba sakal bhuvan ke data, sai baba sakal bhuvan ke data, rup manohar kamala kanta, yug avatar sai baba, daya karo parti baba, shirdi parti hridaya nivasi prashanti sundar sai, prashanti sundar sai, sai baba sakal bhuvan ke data.
May I ask you, what was the predominant feeling in your mind when these lyrics came out in the form of this beautiful tune?
Now, if I get into that, it's a very melancholic thing. It strikes a lot of melancholy in this bhajan itself, though it's a medium-paced bhajan. But then it cries out. And that was a time when I was getting very badly hit. And from everywhere, I felt that it was the end of the world. And that happens when the Lord doesn't look at you, talk to you, and puts you in the right place, you know. So that was the first time I was being hit very badly. And I was getting what we call the cold shoulder treatment of Bhagwan. And the only way to vent out your feeling, though at that point of time I was still writing letters to Swami, but he wouldn't take the letter. He wouldn't come anywhere near me. He was almost telling the warden that I'll throw him out. You know, he was being very harsh with me. And that was the time when this bhajan was almost a prayer. And when you listen to this bhajan, and when you yourself, you are such an accomplished singer, when you sing this bhajan, at that time you'll feel the trepidation of the of
my
heart.
You are saying you are everything. Yeah. You are the one who rules the universe. Yeah. You are the one who made everything.
And Swami laughed and laughed when the bhajan was sung. You know that khushamad. You know,
yes, you're pleading.
Yeah, after that, I still remember, after the bhajan was sung, and Swami laughed at me, and when I looked at him, he was looking very stern. When I was closing my eyes and singing, I was just crying and singing, and then he was, and can you imagine our ego, to what extent the ego in a very subtle manner still exists with you, you know. I wanted to cry, but I was controlling because I have to sing it well. Can you imagine that type of mixed feel?
Yes.
That you know, you are not giving, you are not venting out yourself.
Exactly.
Because still you are holding on to your ego and saying that I have to sing it well. And then I am justifying it by saying that actually I have to sing it well because I have to please my master, please the Lord. Actually, at a later stage of time, I understood that there's nothing that pleases him. There's nothing that you can do to please him because he's the very fount of all bliss. And we draw that pleasure, that bliss, that happiness from him. And all that matters is how we really pose ourselves before him. And then if this is the attitude, so I was trying to, and then again in the heart of my heart, I was praying to him. And after the bhajan, R. Giridhar, a bhajan singer, very good singer, a good friend of mine, my senior, he told me, in our own typical way, you know, he said, so you are trying to butter him, huh?
Well, butter the Lord.
So you have really buttered him because he smiled, he told me. I said, really? Because I had seen him smile at me. When I looked at him, he would look very stern. And then that Rupa Manohar Kamala Kanta, Yuga Avatar, almost you are at breaking point. Yuga Avatar Sai Baba Daya Karo Parti Baba.
This is the really pleading, you know.
Shirdi Parti Ridaya Nivasi Prashanti Sundar Sai.
Yeah, because you know you are buttering the Lord, you are praising the Lord, that you are everything, you are the one who made the universe and you are the one who presides over everything. And then you are saying, please shower your mercy on me. You are the one who came as Shirdi, you are the one who is now so beautiful, Prashanti Sundar. Amazing. We never knew that there is such a beautiful, Sundar, beautiful history to this bhajan. And I think, you know, when people know about this background, you know, it will really help them to pour out their feelings. Because I think each one of us are on that path and all of us have those ups and downs in our lives. And when we can relate to this bhajan in a much more stronger way, I think it will make everyone's bhajan experience an elevating one. And the other thing that I wanted to just share what you mentioned, and it really struck a chord within me, is I think when a singer sings, you mentioned, you know, a singer wants to get lost. But there are times like that, you know, when you are lost in the bhajan and suddenly the ego comes up and says, oh, wow, you're singing it so well.
Yes.
You're singing it so well. There are those times, you know, when you are actually lost, but again the ego comes up and you're in that zone.
Exactly.
But I think if you reach to a stage where that ego never gets that courage to come, I think it'll be a bhajan which all devotees can relate to much more strongly.
Yeah, definitely.
I think ultimately what devotees relate to is the feeling more than the technicalities. And I think that is what perhaps also distinguishes bhajan from any other form of music.
Definitely.
Amazing, sir. So please go and tell us these inspirations behind so many other compositions that you have been blessed with.
Vishu, one inspiration, again, used to be every time playing it in my mind's eye, what must be Vaikuntha? And although I would have so many myriad imaginations of heaven and paradise and the land of Amitabh Buddha, but everywhere I couldn't see anyone except Bhagwan. And today, in retrospect again, when I think of it, why did that happen? It's because my imagination was just an imagination, like it was based on nothing. There was no experience. The only God, luckily for us, luckily for me, whom I ever saw in the flesh, so close, every day, living with you, teaching you, every moment guiding you, holding your hand, was Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. So in all those paradises of my imagination, all those Vaikunthas, I could see only Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba very vividly, so beautifully. In fact, the first time ever when I came to Prashanti Nilayam, the first experience that I had when I just entered again for the first time in my life inside the Prashanti Mandir, I was seated right at the back, and those were the times when anyone could come at any time and there were not much regulation, not much regimentation, and I was sitting right at the back with a tape recorder to record the bhajans. No microphone, nothing. And there were no microphones those days, you know.
So this is the
1978.
So no microphones?
No
also.
Microphones at all. In 1977 when I came, there was no microphone.
Even the evening bhajans?
The evening bhajans. And there was this all-pervasive, all-pervading tranquility, like peace everywhere. Nobody spoke loudly. And there was a type of fragrance all around. Call it, Shivaranjani Agarbati or Vibhuti, but the fragrance, the whole air was fragrant. And everywhere you could feel him, because there was so much of silence. And then in that silence, when I was sitting right at the back, I was just 15 years old. And then I could hear, even today, vividly I remember, the chirping of the sparrows there, inside the Prashanti Mandir.
Bhajan hall.
Bhajan hall. And then, half an hour before the bhajan would commence, Vijayaji, Bhajan Vijaya, we used to call her, she started playing on the veena for half an hour. After that half an hour recital, at that point of time, the first thought that struck me was that I am in the darbar, in the court of Sri Ramachandra ji. Because in my imagination, in all those calendars and Ramayana on the outside cover, the outer cover of the Ramayana, I had only seen the court like that, a beautiful throne right at the end of the darbar, end of the palatial hall. And then all courtiers and all devotees, all the laity, everyone seated there. And then the Lord would come and sit on the throne. So when I looked at the throne and his footstool, and then the beautiful milieu all around, the environment, I said, I am in the very court of Sri Ramachandra ji. This is actually Ramayana relived. There is no doubt about it. I was only 15 years old.
This was the first time you had come.
First time when I came. Imagine that bhajan was so beautiful, so powerful, 2.5 hours bhajan. The first bhajan Vijayaji started, Swami came and sat on the throne. And 1 month we stayed here, 1 whole month. And every day of that morning and evening, every day of that 1 month stay here, Swami did, this is what Swami did. He would give darshan, he would come and sit on the throne, and then he would sit there throughout 2.5 hours, 2 hours bhajan. And then he would just tell the pujari to do the Mangal Aarti. And then, so what I'm trying to tell you is, this thought process developed so well that at a later stage when I was thinking, when I was here, and one inspiration that was very powerful was this one, that in the court of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, all of us, we are seated there, and this is Vaikuntha. And when this thought became a beautiful inspiration for this bhajan which I used to sing here, and a lot of our brothers, even they sing even today.
Bhava bhaya bhanjan shesh shayana hari. Bhava bhaya bhanjan shesh shayana hari. Pranav swarupa narayana. Rajiva lochana adesanatana. Bandha vimochana narayana. Padmanabh prabhu kamala manohar. Vaikunth pate narayana. Vaikunth pate narayana. Pranav swarupa narayana.
This was what bhajan, like this type of feel, every time you would sit there and then feel that way, go back in the evening, and then I used to keep one green harmonium, a broken harmonium, on the floor in the campus. And then in the evening, straight, instead of going to the hostel, I used to go there and sit and then pray to Bhagwan and practice a bit. And then many of these bhajan used to be composed there. And in the hostel music room, I had just composed a bhajan, and just one thought was gripping me at that point of time. This feel.
Nidha magare.
This type of feel I was getting in Yemen. I was thinking if there could be a bhajan which would have this type of feel. And then I had just put together this song.
Mata Maheshwari Tribhuvana Janani.
There was one very beautiful Carnatic classical singer who learned so much from Bhagwan, whom Swami taught, spends hours on and teaching him Tyagraj Kritis. And this very lucky person, Arun Kumar Tiwari, he wanted to sing this bhajan, and I was telling him this song. I was just teaching him this bhajan, Mata Maheshwari, and straight V. Kumar came into the music room And he told me, hey, what about me, man? I have to sing one new composition. Because the feel was not, it was not a competition that you are singing a new song, I'll sing a new song. That was not the thing. The fact that every day Swami expected you to sing a new composition. Well, that was the challenge.
That was the golden period.
What a wonderful period.
For Prashanti Mandir Bhajans.
Prashanti Mandir Bhajans. That golden period is even today. Because we are singing almost, yes. I hear so many beautiful compositions happening even today. Because I know, Vishu, that this is a trend which will go on and on and on forever. Yesterday we were singing, we were composing. Today our young brothers are sitting here and composing. Tomorrow there will be someone else who will be doing the same thing. But Prashanti will go on and on forever. Because this is a spiritual culture that has that type of basis, that type of foundation. And it's founded on Sanatan. And Sanatan has to go on.
In many of your bhajans, you have that word Sanatan.
Yeah.
Adi Sanatana.
Yeah, yeah.
Because without a beginning and end, similarly, Prashanti is, the source of Prashanti is someone who is infinite.
Exactly.
Therefore, the journey of this place also is going to be endless.
Exactly. And I still remember when Arun Kumar Tiwari sang this bhajan, he told me that Swami told him later on that the last line you sing it properly. What I'm trying to tell you is Swami's interpersonal indulgence in a bhajan, wherein he would come personally and tell you that this is where you are going wrong, this is where you need to put more expression. That is what actually happened to Arun Kumar Tiwari when he was singing this. This has undergone another metamorphosis also at a later time. The composition was Shiva Man Mohini. But you remember that time when Swami said no Shiva Man Mohini and no Parvati Shiva Parvati and no Radha Krishna.
Yes.
So during that time
there was a phase.
Yeah. So Shiva Man Mohini became Tribhuvana Mohini.
Yes.
And it was so beautiful again. Yes. Another expression of Swami.
That made the bhajan even more.
Yeah, exactly. Tribhuvana yes. Mohini.
Yes.
So this part. Shiva Man Mohini Paap Vinashini. Swami said, make it more profound. And he did something. He used to do a Carnatic type of nuance here. And later on when Sanjeev Barwara sang the same bhajan, that part we used to be very careful. Shiva Man Mohini Paap Vinashini. Paap Vinashini. Paap Vinashini. So many things we used to do this place. And today, if you look at it,
yeah.
Many of our boys, our brothers, they get tempted to do a lot of things here.
Yes.
You know why? Because this was a place which was earmarked by Bhagwan. Make it special, Swami said. Give a good nuance here.
And he gave a beautiful lyric. He made Tribhuvana Mohini.
Yeah. Ved kalamai kalyanadayini jagatodhar. Then the other bhajan which I did for V. Kumar. And at that time, as I told you, the inspiration was their style of singing again.
Yes.
Because V. Kumar had a wonderful style of singing wherein his voice was a very, he used to open up.
Yes.
And sing, it used to resonate. And the bhajan which...
Very strong and...
Very strong and powerful.
Powerful voice.
And yes. It used to stand on that note.
Yes.
Again, the same sequence. In the morning, I did the bhajan. During lunch, I did the alap.
Alap.
And for a change, that evening itself, V. Kumar sang the bhajan.
Fantastic.
When he sang, Prashanti Nilaya Nivasa Arja Suno Mere Sai Arja Suno Mere Parma Kripalo Parteshwar Sai Deva Arja Suno Mere Parma Kripalo Satya Sanatana Antarayami Sakala Charachara Tum Ho Swami Janma Maran Se Paar Karo Bhav Bandhan Se Udhaar Karo
adja suno. He sang this bhajan. I still remember that day when he sang the alap part. The hills of around Prashant Lime resonated with that Prashanti Nilay Nivasa. He sang it so well.
Amazing. This bhajan is something again which so many singers perhaps sing it when they really want to, you know, call out to the Lord. You want to, exactly. You have a prayer in your heart and you want to somehow, you know, communicate that to Bhagwan, and you use this as the medium. So
exactly.
Is there anything within you when you came up with these lines? Because all these lines is almost so directly telling Swami, please listen to my prayer. Please listen to my innermost call.
Vishu, when anyone would sing this bhajan before Bhagwan, janam marana se paar karo, because these were not words that were just put together, brought together so that a bhajan would be composed.
Exactly.
It was just expressed in such a beautiful manner that the very next line qualifies this line. Bhava bandhan se udhar karo. It is janam marana se paar karo, which actually means bhava bandhan se udhar karo. So there is a feel of supplication wherein life doesn't mean anything to me because I want to be beyond life and death. I want to discover you. I want to merge in you. So that was the intense feel of this bhajan. And whoever sings, at a later stage, I heard Sanjeev used to sing. A beautiful composer, a very good singer, came in our life here in Prashanti Nilayam. His name was Sanjeev Barbora. And my experience with this gentleman, he was my own younger brother. And every bhajan that I would compose and give him, he would sing it 200% maybe.
Wow.
If there could be a limitation to human expression. This is how he would sing it. And not only because he was a direct disciple, he is a direct disciple of Pandit Srikant Bakreji. And he knew music like the back of his palm. And he knew what he was doing, what he was singing. But he would forget all those nuances and all those technicalities of music and lose himself in that bhajan. So his way of learning a bhajan from me used to be, Dada used to sing the bhajan. He would make me sing it twice, thrice, four, five times. And then many a times I saw him just seated there, lost in that bhajan in ecstasy, and I used to feel so small. There would be tears streaming down his eyes, and then he would say, I'll sing it now. And then he would sing the bhajan. And then after that, it would be the most beautiful experience to listen to that bhajan from him. So this guy, Sanjeev Barbora, he used to sing this bhajan quite often, Mata Maheshwari Tribhuvan Janani, and Arat Suno Mere, Janam Maran Se Paar Karo. This used to have such an edge that so many times Swami has very sharply looked at him like this, you know. Matlab, that was the feel that getting in that bhajan when he was singing that line. He was getting into the spirit of that line and singing it. जन्म मरण से पार करो. I'm just replicating little bit of that feel. That was the feel. It'll take a lot of time for us to feel any bhajan, to really get into it. It's happening to both of us just now. Even when we are sitting and getting bonded through bhajan.
भव बंधन से उधार करो.
Some people use
उधार करो.
Some people would feel, get that type of, the same type of feel when they sang it very plain and simple. But that it was, you know, suffused with that feel, bhava. So a lot of people might feel, why are you dwelling only on one bhajan? But then this one bhajan is a case study of this feel, which is there in every bhajan. So a beautiful bhajan at that point of time was a bhajan during Shivaratri, Lakshminarayan Kote. He had a very beautiful Carnatic style of singing, very South Indian Carnatic classical bass. And he told me, you compose some bhajan that I can sing before Bhagwan. So one bhajan that came out at that time for him was Anupama Sundara Nanda Kishora.
Wow.
Which is in that raga Vrindavani Sarang. And another bhajan that he sang during the 1984 Shivaratri, he introduced this bhajan before Bhagwan, was, as you know it very well,
Jay Kailashpati Shiva Shankar Sambh Sada Shiva Shambho.
This bhajan.
And this bhajan is such a comprehensive bhajan. This is one of those bhajans where no name of Shiva is left out.
Exactly.
And I don't know what was your inspiration behind this bhajan.
The inspiration was Lakshminarayan Kote telling me. It sounds very gross, very physical, that somebody telling me, you compose a song that I can sing before Bhagwan. But then what happens after that? This is only to trigger that reaction in you, that chemistry in you. And then that reaction is one that really connects you to Bhagwan. And you can't imagine the ecstasy when the bhajan was composed. And I told him the bhajan. And straight away he liked the bhajan. He said, I want to sing it before Bhagwan. And then the whole process of singing a bhajan before Bhagwan used to be very elaborate. Singing it at least 100 times maybe. Learning it properly.
Yes.
So that we shouldn't really muff it up before Bhagwan.
Swami says any bhajan before you sing, in a samiti bhajan also, before you sing in front of others, you should practice 100 times. And imagine if you're singing a bhajan for the first time.
Exactly.
And this bhajan is such a beautiful elaboration of Lord Shiva.
Yeah.
Because everything about Shiva is there.
Sambasada Shiva Shambhu.
Yes. I mean, you think about any appellation of Lord Shiva and it is there in this bhajan.
Exactly. And the melody also is so appropriate and like it takes you straight at the base of the Mount Kailash and you are looking at him and the whole world vanishes around you.
Maybe you should sing this bhajan.
Jai Kailash Pate Shiva Shankar Sambha Sada Shiva Shambho Partishwar Sai Shiva Shambho Shaileshwar Karunamay Shankar Shaileshwar Karunamay Shankar Lingodbhav Kar Shiva Shambho Trishula Jatadhar Ganga Dhari Halal Dhar Shambho Halal Dhar Shambho Sambha Sada Shiva Shambho Partishwar Sai Shiva Shambho Jai Kailash Pate Shiva Shankar.
Wow. I mean, it is so appropriate for Shivaratri because you talk about Lingodbhavam. You talk about Swami's hair, Jatadhar, and the end, you say, who is all this? It is Partishwara, Sai Shiva Shambho.
No one who could, but you, Vishu, could analyze this bhajan and go so deep into this bhajan the way you are telling me. Even I haven't analyzed this bhajan to this extent and you have done it just now.
If you think about it, it's really very, very profound, this bhajan, because all the attributes that you think about Bhagwan, Sambha Shiva, he's Shiva Shakti. Everything that you think, you know, Shivaratri, what does it consist of? It consists of that Lingodvam. It consists of giving you that feel of Kailasha in Puttaparthi. And all those things are there in this bhajan. And in the end, you very beautifully, because I was waiting for you, when will you say that if Partishwara, Sai Shiva, and that is there at the end. It comes, you give the entire description and then you say, this is what Bhagwan is. That is what makes the Sai bhajan so special.
So that was Brother Sonam Gyamso from Sikkim, one of the earliest batch of Sai students. And he shared with us today the learnings that he has had at the lotus feet of Bhagwan as a bhajan singer, as a bhajan composer. And there is much more to it. I played for you the first part and I will continue this the next Thursday also. And we'll also listen to some more stories, the stories behind the compositions. In fact, when we had this bhajan competition in the month of October, we received so many entries and I want to play some of those also to you. And that we will do the next Thursday. We will also listen to Brother Sonam, the second part of the conversations. And I'm sure you will find this a very, very enriching and elevating experience. Thank you so much for being with us all through the day. If you have any queries or comments or suggestions, any feedback, please feel free. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu. And on behalf of all of us, I take this opportunity to thank you and offer our immense sense of gratitude to Bhagwan for having given us this opportunity of listening to Him, ruminating on Him and sharing His love with all of you. Thank you so much. And finally, a sweet goodbye and loving Sairam from Prashant Nilay.